Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, Kings fans? If you haven't heard about Anchor by Spotify, it's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcast, and more. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And best of all, Anchor, it's totally free. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Everybody, this is another episode of Making It Rain. We got a good episode here coming for you guys today, talking about the new additions, Faber staying in Minnesota, and going over all the matchups. Stay tuned to find out.
Nobody there for Tucson. Rain will take it away with speed up the right wing side. Velarde tripped up, centered for Fagimo to the left circle. A shot, score! In his first game of the year, guess who? Elias Anderson makes it 3-2 with 1:50.
I know that sound clip had Elias Anderson, and that's a long time ago, fellas. We are farther in the season than that. That just brings you back to that. I don't think there was ever a good enough – I mean, outside of T.J. Tynan, that 4 games that he had or 5 games he had with us was astronomically good. We're far down the road from that. But before we get into all the deeks and rocket shots here, how are you doing, Joe?
I'm doing all right, Randon. It's been a busy couple of weeks. Been a little bit since we spoke. I know we didn't get together last week, so happy to be back. How's things with you?
Good. Yeah, I got to do an interview with Francisco Rivera, or ex Rivera, the Spanish announcer for the LA Kings. Fantastic interview. If you guys haven't listened to it, please go back. And he talks a lot about how the Hispanic community has embraced the LA Kings, how the LA Kings have the most Hispanic season ticket holders and fans in the entire NHL. And so very, very well done interview. And it was a pleasure talking to Francisco.
Yeah, that's awesome. That was well done too. That was a really good, good listen, good guest.
So, but everything's been good. Just watching this catastrophe of an April for the Kings, holding on by my teeth to see if they get in. We were talking before we came on and I was like, yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that they get in. Like, there's no doubt, you know, and all this kind of stuff like that. And now it's like 97%, 90%, 85%, 70%. It's like, holy crap. Like, and they get Mark Stone. Vegas gets Mark Stone back. So definitely, on the edge of your seat every single day watching the scoreboard to see how those standings. Obviously, tonight they're facing Calgary, so go Flames. We're recording on a Thursday night here. But, yeah, it's been going pretty good. Baseball's back in. I was pessimistic about the A's based on because they just sell everybody, but they've been playing some scrappy baseball.
They have.
3 out of 4. And the new guy that we got, Christian Pache, probably my new favorite player on the team. He's only been there a couple weeks. And so pretty decent start to the season. I thought we would have went 0-10 or something like that to start.
But I was a big fan of his in the Atlanta system. Get a little baseball talk. But yeah, big fan of his as a prospect.
So, but other than that, everything is going well. How about you, man? How's the fam? How's life? And what do you think about these, what's been going on with the Kings?
Good. Busy. The Kings, listen, I mean, I think at some point I don't want to say that they were playing over their head, but after a while, the injuries and the youth in the lineup, particularly in the back end, I think it starts to, you start to maybe see some mistakes or see some things that in plays that get made that maybe don't happen if Edler's in for the duration, or Doughty or Anderson, guys that have been there. And, you know, you're relying on a really, really young and inexperienced back end. And there's going to be some times where it just doesn't go well. And it just is what it is. That and the goaltending has been probably subpar at best, I would say, of late. So
straight, you know, garbage would be a better accurate description.
And I know last night it was. But, you know, listen, it's so I don't know. I mean, it's tough because of where they were just, you know, just a few weeks ago in the standings. But again, they're at present moment, they're sitting in a playoff spot. They've got a nice schedule upcoming, relatively speaking. So hopefully they're able to string something together here, grab some points, and find their way into the playoffs. And I know for Ontario that they're in the playoffs, of course, but we've seen kind of a similar up and down, certainly far less dominant rain team than we saw in the first half of the season. And I think a lot of that's because a lot of these young players are up in Los Angeles, and it's having kind of a trickle down effect on the rain as well. So, you know, it's a learning curve and some growing pains at times for these young players, but they're certainly being thrown into the fire in a playoff race.
Definitely so much. And, you know, again, I think you're looking at down the stretch, you know, all non-playoff teams, all teams that the Kings should beat regardless of injury. You know, Anaheim once was thought as, you know, perhaps the best team in the Pacific, and that's, they've had a definitely a downfall second season. They traded every one of their good players away. Kraken, you know, even though they got their number two overall pick in Matty Beniers, congratulations on making the NHL and getting your first point in your first game. You know, USA staple probably to the Olympic team going forward, with how good he is as such a young kid. But I mean, they should beat these teams, and I think they need at minimum 10 out of the 12 points. You know, Vegas is playing good hockey, and they're getting Mark Stone back. I think they need to get 10 out of 12, if not 12 out of 12, and need some help.
Yeah, listen, there's no question, despite how favorable the schedule may be, they actually got to go play the games and get the points, because, you know, these other teams certainly aren't just going to roll over for you. You have to go and you got to play, and you got to pick up these 2 points night in and night out. I mean, there's not really a whole lot left to give at this point in the season.
Definitely not. Definitely not. So let's get started with here. The big news, you know, I think kind of created a lot of panic in Kingsland on Twitter, at least. Faber staying in Minnesota. He said, "I'm back, baby." You know, but he wasn't the only one. Toronto prospect, I think his last name is pronounced Nyes, stayed as well. We talked about it in our last podcast that they have the number one recruitment class. And so they're going to be stacked like, you know, like Michigan was stacked this year, and try to go for a cup run. And so he reportedly was offered a starting spot on the Kings in Chicago if he signed, and decided to stay back in college.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I was. I'm certainly not one of those ones that maybe panicked. I'm not reading a whole lot into it. I think, you know, he's still under, you know, kind of Kings, what, quote unquote, property for a couple of years. It's, you know, he would have to do the same thing next summer. I don't think it's till 24 that he can, that he would be like a free agent. So I'm not necessarily worried. He's got a good opportunity to go back. You mentioned he's not the only one. And I think Ryan Johnson, I don't know, has that decision been made yet? His D partner, who's a prospect out of Buffalo, he had not signed, at least last I saw. So he's another one. So it could very well be just a situation where they want to get back together and try to take another kick at the can. And
a team decision, title. Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm honestly not reading a lick into it. I saw it. I was a little surprised, I guess, but I'm not discouraged. If anything, it's not a bad thing. Let him get another year. He's so young. He's still only just coming off his sophomore season. So it's not like he's still a young kid. So nothing wrong with taking another year. And you've heard me talk about it. I think I catch some heat sometimes for it, but it could be an opportunity for him to kind of take that next step in his development and see if he can push the puck or push the pace a little bit more and maybe show a little bit more of an offensive side to his game. He's an elite defensive defenseman that we already know. Really good skater, really, really good player, really fun to watch, and highly touted as he should be, but he may be able to add a little bit more to that arsenal in his junior season.
Yeah, if he's at a half point per game right now, if he can get around a point per game in this next season, being a little bit more of a premier scorer, it'd be definitely something to look at. Trapper Nines coming in said he has a good shot at a natty, meaning a national championship. I am not panicking. Yeah, I think where people are panicking is Adam Fox, right? So Adam Fox decided not to sign with the team that drafted him, signed with New York, obviously Norris Trophy winner. People down the yellow brick road of negativity, and they automatically assume, oh, he's going to sign somewhere else. He's going to be right shot D1 for another organization, win a championship with them. The Kings are never going to see his talent, yada, yada, yada. And they just kind of go down that panic mode,
yeah,
which is a possibility. Sure. But there's also very much a possibility that he signs after this next season. They just want to run it back as a team. If all the players that could have signed don't sign, it seems like a team decision.
They've had a couple. There's been one or two that I know have signed. But regardless, I mean, I don't know. I'm not at all panicked or worried or anything like that. I mentioned Ryan Johnson. I did see that there was some question out of some reports in Buffalo that now Ryan Johnson's a left shot D-man, which is, we all know, is something the Kings have been kind of looking for or a little bit thinner at compared to the right side. And now he's a little bit older, I believe, than Faber. He's going into his senior year. So he's actually eligible to be a free agent next year. And him going back maybe is a little bit more of an alarm bell situation. Whereas Faber, to me, I don't know. I'm not worried about it. I think it's, if anything, it's not a bad thing for him to get that extra year of development. Not worried.
Yeah, Trapper Nine coming in, plus college life is way better than junior life. You could best believe all those honeys on the NCAA campus for a premier college team in Minnesota has got to be a lot better than hitting the roads and the buses outside making money. But he's thinking long term there. And Richard coming in, he's, I'm not worried about Faber. It's too early to worry. I tend to agree. I think that he knows how touted he is within the organization. You're going to be in an organization that's on an upswing there. Now, let's talk about how this factors into the rest of the team. Like, we are both big fans of Helge Grans. We're both big fans of Jordan Spence and all this. This just leaves the door open for them to more solidify their spot because one of their biggest competition ain't going to be there in camp to mess things up for them.
Sure. And so I would say for as much as I've talked about and like we spitball as fans and as we've done on our pod and the Hockey Royalty pod and Russell's put together the Twitter spaces and we talk about, you know, who's the odd man out on the right side. And Faber's been the name that I tend to bring up. But to me, he's the third in a pretty deep right shot prospect pool. I have him third on my list behind Clark is one. I do have Grans ahead of him, and I think it's probably close for me. Faber and Spence. Spence is getting the chance that he's had at the pro level, playing a lot of minutes in Ontario, and he's getting thrown into it in Los Angeles too. And I think he's looked pretty good. So, you know, maybe Spence and Faber are really close for me. But I agree. I mean, if anything, it's kind of just one less guy to kind of ease the pressure a little bit on the right side to open up some opportunity for some other players. And, you know, just kind of kicks that can down a year, maybe to where there maybe is a little bit less urgency, quote unquote, to make a deal that I know a lot of people have talked about potentially coming this summer, to clear up a logjam. Well, now there's one less player there that's going to be in the conversation. So,
not that Roy was on the chopping block to get traded, but it's less likely now for sure. I think Walker's still probably on his way out.
Yeah, I don't want to see Roy go either.
But, you know, without Faber there, you're looking at probably Doughty, Roy, Clark, and Jersey on the right-hand side. And then, you know, you have Gron, Spence, and on the right-hand side down there.
And I think it's important to keep in mind, Spence is so young. I don't know that there was really much expectation for him to be in Los Angeles this year. There's been a lot of situations that have happened for him to get that call. And as well as he's played, I don't think I don't think there should be any issue if he starts the season in Ontario next year. I think that's perfectly fine, perfectly reasonable.
It just makes you more confident. Like, what if Clark, for some reason, what if Clark isn't ready? He plays his nine games. They don't want him. They said, hey, you need another year. I don't think that's going to happen. We'll say that does happen. Then you have, you're fine with Spence playing minutes if he needs to because of injury. Now, if Clark does play, then you're fine with him running power play one, which he was so dominant at for the Reign. And they should still be in line next season, even though a lot of those guys will get permanent jobs with the Kings to make some headway in the AHL and be in line for a playoff run.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So Richard coming in here said the Reign are stacked and should make a deep run. If the Kings miss the playoffs or get knocked out early, then Vilardi, Kupari, Byfield, and Spence are able to come down, the more reason to win the Calder Cup. Well, they're going to need it because they've been playing pretty poorly, but we're going to be getting to that here in a little bit. Before we do, let's start with the new additions. Tyler Inamoto from the University of Wisconsin, D-man, left shot, 6'2", 194. He was drafted in the fifth round in 2017 by the Florida Panthers. The rights are still owned by the Hurricanes. He signed either an ATO or PTO. I forget which one it is for him. But he played for the University of Wisconsin, like I said, wore an assistant captain's letter the last two seasons for 2020 and 2021-22. So I know you're going to be doing a piece on this guy. Both of us haven't really done any deep dives. But playing for a huge university, wearing a letter seems right up the alley for what the Kings look for in a locker room type guy.
Yeah, and it's from everything that I've read and watched so far in video and interviews and clips and whatnot. I mean, the ultimate team guy. And he blocks shots, but he like loves blocking shots. He wants to make it a thing that he is known for is, as he likes to say, eating pucks. And he will lay out for anything. And I think he likes to do that and make that first pass. Like, he's not going to be the flashy offensive defenseman. He'll play the body when needed, but he is a very sound defensive defenseman who can make a first pass and is just more than willing to block shots. And talking about like maybe where he fits in the Reign, you know, you look at that left side. Most recently, they had Gaunce, Nousiainen, and Wolanin play the left side just last game. And he, you know, listen, given how their penalty kill has gone, maybe you want a guy that's going to be down there eating pucks the whole time. I mean, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him there. So
you need those guys. Like,
yeah,
every team that has been, you know, this is the AHL. Every team that's been overly skilled, like Toronto and Tampa, have realized you need grit. Like, Lemieux has been such a revelation to the Kings, and he's missed. You know, obviously Grundstrom adds a little bit of that to that club, but you're seeing guys like Taylor Ward, who Trapper says he likes, he fits in well with the team. Mm-hmm. And now a guy like Tyler, some of that grit, some of that nastiness, somebody who's willing to play, do the unsung hero stuff for a team to win. You need both to win games.
Yeah. And, you know, I kind of, maybe this is a little, and again, I could be completely off base here, but you know, he maybe is in a similar mold to that of a, say, a Jacob Movarari, who is not eligible for the playoffs for Ontario since he was, you know, called up and not papered back down. So, you know, you've got Gaunce, who's kind of more that veteran, although he plays that physical, he'll block shots, all that type of stuff style. Nousiainen, much more of that kind of smoother skating, willing to jump up into the play. Wolanin brings a lot of that offensive potential too, where, you know, I think with Inamoto, he's kind of that, again, steady, quiet, stay at home, but is able to make that first pass, make that play in transition, ease the breakout and get into the zone and get into the neutral zone. So I think that he could kind of be of that similar mold, maybe to like a Movarari, who isn't going to, you may not notice him throughout the game. He's not going to do anything that's flashy. Like, you watched that play, or it was a play on Wolanin's goal the other day where Nousiainen was flying up the ice and shot the gap. Like, I don't know that I see Inamoto necessarily doing that, but he's going to be making those quiet plays in the D zone to get pucks out.
That's so Kim, you know, flying up the gap there. Yeah, I agree with you. And like, you need that little differentiating. Like, their offense was so offensive heavy, which obviously that's why their power play was so good for so long. And now they're getting more of these aggressive guys, and they just got to learn how to play differently and still learn how to and win. And I think Kim will add some offense, and, you know, maybe Tyler will add a little bit just more steadiness and, you know, quieting the back of the D core. The other the other guy we got here, well, let's see if Elite Prospects will load. There we go. Is Joe Gattenby. He is 24 years old, D-man, right, 6 foot 192, shoots the right-hand side. Getting out of the U Sports League in the old Canada for the University of New Brunswick, also an assistant captain in his last year. Nice little tidbit about him, never has missed the playoffs in any team that he's played on since 2011. So, you know, that's something, a little snippet to be said about him is that, you know, he's ready to win, and he has that pressure moment built into his mind. You know, sometimes even great players, you know, when you get into juniors and all these kind of things like that, they play on crappy teams, right? I mean, you look at some teams that just don't win games, and you play on these crappy teams and you don't get that playoff experience. Well, he's had it every year for over a decade in the tough moments there. So the Reign are definitely going to need that experience being such a young team. And maybe he can add that kind of leadership being an older guy.
Yeah, and, you know, another letter wearer and another character guy. He actually won in the U Sports League the most sportsmanlike player award. He's had a lot of academic awards playing in the collegiate league up there. So a smart kid, good head on his shoulders, another leadership type of guy. Like I said, a letter wearer. And you can tell he's a guy that thinks the game and wants to be somebody that is involved in that aspect. He's actually involved in some coaching up in Canada, if I'm not mistaken, and some skills coaching. So he's a guy that's very, very, we'll say, a student of the game, if you will. And again, from what the little bit, admittedly, that I've been able to watch and read since the signing is again, another player that not necessarily overly offensive, but he looks to be solid and reliable in his own zone. That's his goal, is to be kind of be somebody that can be counted on, not make a lot of mistakes in his own zone, and make sure he's getting pucks up and out of the zone. So when you look at the Reign right side of the defense right now, it's thin. Not only have they lost Dursey, who's been up for a while now, Spence, as we just talked about, Helge Grans missed last game with an injury. Reign insider Jared Shaffrin mentioned on the broadcast he doesn't think it's going to be something that's long term, but we'll find out to see if he's back in the lineup this weekend. But they went with Nogier Hickey, the left shot, playing the right side, and Allard was the right side of the D. So opportunity here could knock for Gattenby in the short term,
being thrown in some minutes right there. So we'll see how it all works out. If anything, it's depth. And as we see with a little bit of injury here and there, the depth can dwindle pretty quickly. But there's nothing dwindling here with our sponsor, DraftKings. Let's get this here. Hockey fans, feel the action on the ice like never before with DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NHL. Right now, new customers can bet just $1 on any team to win and get $150 in free bets if they do. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can just still hit the ice for cold, hard cash. New customers can make their first deposit and play free for thousands with DraftKings Fantasy or Daily Fantasy Hockey Contest. Draft your lineup of 8 skaters and a goalie and rack up the points for goals, assists, saves, and more. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet just $1 on any NHL team to win. That is $150 in free bets if they do. That's code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NHL. 21 years of age, restrictions apply. See show notes for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be assessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537 in Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Wyoming. 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona, 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and New Hampshire, 888-789-7777. Visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, 877-8-467-369 in New York. Visit OPGR.org in Oregon. Call, text, Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789 in Tennessee, or 888-532-3500 in Virginia. 21 years of age apply, except for in New Hampshire and in Wyoming, where it's 18 or older. Physically present in states like Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Louisiana, Michigan, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New York, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, Wyoming, and West Virginia. Only minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. It's been a while.
Well done. Didn't miss a beat.
Still smooth as silk there, except for they weren't that smooth against the Eagles. Let's get into that matchup here. First one, blowout. 8-1. It wasn't even close all game. You would think, if you looked at the shot totals, you'd be like, oh, that's not too bad. But Colorado, 4 for 6 on the power play. And Ontario was 1 for 4. And that's just really where they made us pay, was in the special teams.
It got down early and just never recovered, right? I mean, it got away from them. You know, you're down 3-0 after one, but with this rain team, it's been some, you know, it's been, we've talked about it, how, you know, they're just never out of it. But, you know, it's a different rain team right now. But look at the roster. Look at all the guys that are up, all the guys that are hurt. And it's, you know, not to kind of get off the track here, but really quick, like this, for what seemed like a team that was going to march through at least the first round or two of the playoffs, there's no guarantee that this team is winning a best of three right off the hop. It's going to be tough, especially if, depending on what's going on in Los Angeles, if they don't have those guys. I think it was Richard that mentioned earlier, you know, the Velarde, Kupari, Byfield, Spence could come down. If they're still playing in LA and they miss that opening series, it's going to be a grind, and it could be a game against those San Diego Gulls that they just played. And it was a 2-1 game midway through the third period yesterday, not to jump ahead, but so just kind of circling back, like it's a different rain team. Whereas a 3-0 deficit 3 months ago, it's nothing. You know, Furk and Tynan are going to go nuts. And then you've got, coming right behind you, you've got the way Turcotte was pushing the play, at least Madden, Fagimo, and a couple of those guys are out now. Velarde was there, Byfield was there, Kupari, you know, lately. And then, of course, the defense, where the power play didn't miss, and it's just been a little bit different right now. So they can't really afford to get down like that, because they just don't have the firepower that they used to come back. And then it just, again, it got away from them. Another early goal in the second, and then back-to-back power play goals, and that was all she wrote.
Yeah, I mean, there's only so much time and Furk can do, you know, like they can't have 6-point nights every game, as much as how good they've been this year. And I know Turcotte's been rumored to be about a month out from when his injury happened. So that should be coming up soon, but who knows? And then will he be the Turcotte that we saw right before the injury, which was really good? I mean, the type of guy that hounds the pucks, not a defense, you know, a very good defender, was scoring some points, you know, had that point streak and everything like that. And, you know, there's nothing that a top five pick, you know, is really going to hurt on the team. Like, it's only going to help your team.
And not for nothing. So you've got the, I mean, I don't know if I count Byfield, because really the only reason he was in Ontario was more conditioning. He was going to start the season in LA, but you've got Velarde, Spence, Kupari, not to mention Turcotte, who you just did, Madden, Kachev. That's five forwards and a defenseman and a number one D-man that are out for various reasons. So that's a lot to take out of a lineup as deep as the Rain are. That's a lot. And it's, you know, depending on how things shake out here the rest of the way, I mean, that's why you're seeing them. You've got a guy like Taylor Ward who's stepping in and scoring some big goals, and some defensemen are starting to chip in, and you know, they continue to get production from up and down, which is good. But it's a little bit less of a firepower, if you will.
Yeah, well, like you said, I mean, if they were down 5-0 in a game, I thought the rain in the beginning of the season would be perfectly fine, right? Yeah. But, you know, like Richard said, the injury bug can just relax for the rest of the season. That would be fantastic, yeah. Richard comes in again. He said, if he can come back stronger and healthier, I'm assuming he's meaning Turcotte next season, and stay healthy, the rain will be fire.
So I said, we've been saying all season, like, all we asked for the kid, like, for as much as everybody call up Turcotte, do this, can we just let the kid have a healthy season? Please let him have a healthy season and then see how he goes. And he hasn't been able to do that.
Even in the small amount of time that Akil's been back from his injury, I know I was pretty hard on him and harder than you were, but he's starting to look like the Akil Thomas that we know and love. I mean, he's still not 100% in my eyes. I still think you see some shifts that aren't typical Akil Thomas, but he's definitely slowly coming back from that injury. And that's all you wish from Turcotte, is to stay healthy, because you know, he might not be that top three LA Kings, you know, top liner that we all thought, but he's still an integral part to this prospect pool, and health is going to be a big part of his future. And if he can get back before the playoffs, that would be a huge uplift for this team here. Going down the rest of it, yeah, so 7-0 after two. Samuel stops the shutout with his 24th of the season in the third period. Martin Kraut right here with two goals, and he's an interesting one, right? He was a first-round pick for the Avalanche in 2008, hasn't really broken the lineup, only a half-point per game player in the for Colorado, you know, out of the Czech Republic. I always thought that, you know, this guy had the scoring makings to make the team, but Colorado, as we saw for the Kings yesterday, is just so stacked. So maybe he's just, you know, waiting for a time, and he might play out his ELC and ask to be traded somewhere or sign somewhere else or do something like that, because, you know, they definitely have a logjam more than the Kings do for a first round pick like that. So
yeah, they're pretty deep over there.
So let's move it on to the next one here. As it's loading and playing the second half of this game, another loss overtime. Rain do get a point in this one, 4-3. A little bit of back and forth going. The special teams got it going early for both teams. Samuel Fagimo with his 25th of the season, stay hot, my friend, with a power play goal, assist from Granz and Ferk.
It's been a couple weeks. Did I not say Fagimo's going to get 30? And it was like, that could be a lot to ask. He needs basically a goal a game, and he's got 27. Yeah, he might do it.
Hey, Samuel, thank you for listening to the pod and taking Joe's advice, because you're in fuego.
Listen, I may have been talking out of my behind, if you will, at the moment, just kind of throwing a number out there. But the fact that he's three goals away, good on him. He's really – talk about a guy that stepped up with a lot of the guys out. He's been right there at the top of that list. So good on him. Gets the scoring started early. He's been really good on the power play. That was big.
Outside of Clark, I think he's probably the fan favorite to probably crack the Kings lineup next season.
He's doing exactly what you would want, right? So he has the nice, exciting camp, scores that nice goal in the first in preseason, doesn't make the team, goes down and just quietly, because let's be honest, I think it's been a pretty quiet 27 goals he's had. You look at what Ferk has done, so much attention was on Byfield at the start of the year. Tynan is just ridiculous. And then you look at the defensemen, Durzi, Spence, they're being called up to the NHL. And all the while, Samuel Fagimo was just kind of slowly, he had a little bit of a lull there for a while in the kind of first third of the season. But then, like, second half, he has just been steady Eddie, consistent, just putting pucks in the net, being that goal-scoring winger, being that guy that just puts just a goal scorer that you drafted him to be. And that's exactly what he's doing. And listen, all you can ask for in his first full pro season, really, he goes out and he's going to score 30 goals. I think you take that. He's doing exactly what you want him to do.
Check. I think another thing that's interesting too is the fact that Ferk and Tynan have kind of been like this buffer for a lot of these prospects, right? And so last year when Kaliev was lighting it up, everybody's like, okay, yeah, he needs to be brought up right now. And like, it's kind of giving, you know, Fagimo a little bit of a buffer. I know people wanted Vilardi back up and all this kind of stuff like that, but, you know, he's kind of been putting that in there. And then, you know, Trapper 9 here with, you know, Fagimo and Kromiak next year will be insane to watch. Kromiak has over 40 goals this year in the OHL. He was OHL player of the week last week. I think he had almost 2 point per game pace, a goal per game pace. His third hat trick of the season last week. And so definitely smoking the twine in the back of the net there for Martin Kromiak. So the team's got some goal scorers, and it'll be interesting to see who rises to the cream of the crop as these seasons unfold. So we're going in here. Let's go to the second period here. After first, it was 2-2. Gantz and Gabriel Fontaine ties it up with a little bit left, you know, tough letting in those last second goals, but going into the second period, Jason Magna gets his 10th of the season. And then who would have thunk another power play goal from Samuel Fagimo, 26th of the season, by TJ Tynan and Helge Granz. If Tynan does not get an assist per game, it is a travesty at this point. But OT winner for Magna in this one, his third point of the game, and the Eagles win this one 4-3.
Yeah, good on Helge Granz too. In this game, picks up a couple of assists, both on the power play. So an opportunity to where, you know, with Spence up, how's the power play going to run? And he, you know, they're able to contribute. Although with TJ Tynan, it should still be pretty efficient, right? When you have a guy like the best playmaker in the American Hockey League, it should still run okay. So, but I would say good on Granz to pick up a couple of apples in this one.
Yeah, it was definitely good on him, and I really liked it. What I didn't like, though, is that, you know, I mean, obviously it was a half night in the first game on Friday because they lost 8-1. Obviously, Vallotta pulled, or was it Parikh was pulled or Vallotta was pulled first? I forget who started that game.
Vallotta
started that game, yeah. So he was pulled, and then Parikh went in there, and then Vallotta got the start again. You think maybe they would have started with Parikh, but I guess at that point they both played half the game. So, you know, but what we wanted them to see was let Vallotta, you know, get a little puff here, and they've been trotting him out almost every single game.
Yep.
And so we'll see how that kind of works out there. Richard coming in here, if the Kings don't trade Walker or Roy in the summer, maybe to start the season, do you see Durzi and Spence in Ontario? Yeah, I mean, because that's not an option for Roy or Walker. Like, they don't have – I don't know if it will be for Durzi, depending on his age. I'd have to look up that contract, but I'm sure Spence can pass through waivers.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that works out. Maybe they'll want to see – maybe Walker will be a trade after the start of the season. It won't be an offseason. It'll be a, you know, after camp to see how he looks type deal, or maybe they'll try to inflate his trade value. I mean, he really has no value at this moment with the injury, and so maybe they try to inflate his trade value with some games in the preseason, wait for somebody to get some injuries, and then and try to trade high at that moment.
That would not surprise me, because it's is it worth it to necessarily trade him just for the sake of it if a team's going to be depending on what the cost and what the price is going to be. It wouldn't surprise me, Richard, if that's the direction that they go, that we do see Durzi and Spence both both in Ontario next year to start the season, because, you know, just because everybody says, just trade Walker, it's not always that easy to just say, we'll just trade him. I mean, I think there's a little bit more to it than that. So, yes, it would clear up a logjam, but at the same time, you don't want to just give a player away if he's a player that has value. And I think Walker, when he was healthy, did provide value to the blue line, and I think he can to an NHL team. So you do want to kind of tread lightly there.
My counter argument to that is that the salary that his contract would open up is more important than the picks that we're getting. With Kempe getting a raise, and, you know, them, you know, fans looking for them to go out and sign a Forsberg, sign a big free agent to kind of push us over the top there. You know, you're going to need also we're going to have $10 million allocated to the goalie position, which isn't ideal. So, you know, his salary might be more important going into free agency than whatever low round pick that we could get for Walker. Now, is Walker maybe a sweetener? Yeah, he probably could be a sweetener for a team in a trade, you know, to where it's, you know, maybe they're looking, hey, we'll take a shot at a guy who has low salary and played pretty good. There is tape out on him. And so we'll see how that works out, how they decide whether he goes. But I think there's too much of a logjam not to get rid of him earlier. That's just my opinion, but I could definitely see it go both ways, where they let the camp play out, and maybe there's, you know, they want to wait until they see there's no injuries in their own camp before they trade him, or they're going to try to trade him at the height of maybe another team getting an injury early, and then they can capitalize on that. Obviously, you don't wish anything bad upon any players, but that's just the name of the game there, you know, being strategic. So moving on here to the Stockton Heat.
Whew, what a series.
This was a good series. The first game, final in a shootout, 3-2. Rain fell short on this one, but we started out Frederick Allard, second of the season, with less than a minute to go. But the game started out with Matthew Phillips' 28th goal of the season on the power play. Penalty kill still not looking great. But Byron Frozé and Martin Papasil with the assist. What did you see out of this first period? He outshot Ontario 11-8.
Well, so they outshot him 11-8. But for the first 5 minutes, it was 7-1 Stockton in shot single. They were all over him. So the Rain after that did kind of settle in, and they turned it around pretty quickly, right? They outshot them, 10-1? quick math how that works out the rest of the way. So they did end the period well. And on that power play goal, they were all over the place. The penalty killer was, that is, they never really had a good good structure. They were the movement from Stockton was very good, so it wasn't too shocking to see that goal coming. And then 10 minutes in, it was 11-2 shots on goal in that period. So it was an all Stockton first half of that first period.
Yeah. So this is the first game for Kim Nusainen, and then, you know, you look at Samuel Hellenius has been there. Give me your opinion on both the Finns. Obviously they were a topic in our last one. Kim gets his first game, so he's had a little bit less time on the ice than Samuel, but what have you seen from both of them so far in their short tenure?
In the short, and I, you know, small sample size, I'm a fan of Kim Nusainen. And I really like the way he is more than willing to jump up into play. I think he's good on the puck. I think he makes some good plays, you know, maybe a little bit risky at times in the back end. I think he had a costly turnover, I believe it was, in one of the Stockton games. So, you know, there's going to be kind of give and take there, almost like, you know, a young Jordan Spence, where, you know, he's so good offensively, but maybe a little careless with the puck at times in the D zone as a young defenseman getting used to the AHL game. I think you have a tendency to maybe see some of that, but I think there's a player there. I'm a fan of Nusainen's game. Hellenius, I think it's going to take a little bit of time for him to get up to the speed with the pro game, of the AHL game. I think you're seeing what he's good at in terms of being that defense first kind of centerman. And I think as he goes, I'd like to see him get just a stretch of games to get used to the speed a little bit, because I think Nusainen is adapting and adjusting a little bit better right now, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, Nusainen's a better skater, and so he can rely on that athleticism to get him through. Dustin Wolf, obviously, Trapper 9 say Dustin Wolf is pretty good. Yes, he is. You're very astute with your observation. Definitely a great goalie there, and he's carried that team all year. And then that night was no difference with 64 minutes in between the pipes. So going into the second, Emilio Pettersson with his 10th of the season. And then another defenseman gets a goal here, Thomas Hickey from Jared Anderson Dolan.
Yeah, and look at Anderson Dolan again. He picks up his 20th assist. He's continued to be a pretty consistent point producer for Ontario this year. Up and down the lineup, special teams, he's been a solid player.
Yeah, he's third on the team in goals with 22 and third on the team in points with 45.
And I'll say, too, Vallalta was pretty big that period, in the second period. He made some point-blank saves. Kind of midway through the period that were crucial at certain points in that game.
I agree there. In the third period, no action as far as on the tally sheet, but heavily outshot by the Heat, 13-5. Ontario seemed the better team in overtime, in my opinion. Did you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, they had a I think Ferk had a breakaway in overtime. They scored a goal. Now there was a goal that was called back. I thought they were good overall. And going back actually to the third period, Wagner had a breakaway in the third period. So he was stopped. So overall, I thought the Rain certainly bounced or certainly had a decent showing here in this one before the shootout, at least.
Yeah. So the shootout, they went with the goal scorer, Samuel Fagimo. No goal there, and Jared Anderson Dolan, no goal, and Stockton Heat hit both of theirs. So Dustin Wolf got the first player of the game, making 24 saves on 26 shots, and then stopping both in the shootout. So three-game skid, but they still pick up 2 points out of the possible six. So, you know, some of those moral victories kind of staying off Colorado for that third spot. Right now, I believe, we still got more games to talk about, but they have 79 points and the Rain have 85. Rain have a game in hand, so it's not impossible. The Rain still have a chance. You know, they'd have to do something pretty drastic to blow these games, but there's still an opportunity there. And I believe they play the Eagles three games. So definitely a chance to blow the number two spot if they're not careful. So we'll see how that goes out. Let's go to the second game. This one was also a final in a shootout, so quality game. The Heat start out hot, pun intended. Three straight goals. First one, Walker Dewar. And you got Nick DeSimone and Justin Kirkland going into the second period until we have a sign of sweet relief with Austin Wagner getting his 12th of the season, assisted from Jared Anderson Dolan and Kim Nusayanian getting his first professional point in the AHL.
Yep, smart seeing eye shot from the left point, and then it was a bit of a scramble in front. I'm not sure if Anderson Dolan tipped the shot on the way in, or if he was just one of the ones that got a stick on it to get the primary assist, but a nice job by Wagner tucking it home. And a big goal, right? If it's, we talked about earlier in this, 3-0 is a lot for this team to come back from at this point, but making it 3-1 after two, that gets you right back into it, heading in the room. You know, you're two shots away from tying this thing up, and they did just that in the third period.
Yeah, so going into the third, lots of goals here, six total goals for both teams.
What a period.
Great period that was. So Samuel Fagimo gets his 27th from Martin Furk and Will Lannan. Akil Thomas with his fourth from Jared Anderson, Dolan, and Tynan. On the power play there, Tynan with his 74th of the season.
I want to talk about that Thomas goal, because it's something that we've seen the Rain do when the power play's been effective, and they did it early in the season. I know the play to Furk, like that tying into Furk, or it would maybe be from Spence to Furk for the one timer. That's kind of the money shot, if you will, for the Rain. But part of the reason that makes that to me an option is because of that bumper forward, where it's been Tyler Madden who they've, and then what you do is you set up that kind of triangle, right, where it's on that right circle where Tynan goes down low to Anderson Dolan, and it's a quick one touch to the slot. And that's exactly how Thomas scored this goal. And Akil Thomas showed that he was effective in this bumper role last season. They've had two really effective players, in my opinion, this year, both in Madden and in Velarde. And I think part of the reason that lane to Furk can be open is, well, one, Tynan is just elite at making that read and that play, but also that is still a threat. And I've talked about it occasionally on Twitter, where that bumper is non-existent on the Kings power play. Not to go too much to the Kings, but I think you – but the way the Rain utilize that is how you should utilize that. And then when that play happens, that has to be honored. The Killers know if I leave that open, Tynan's going to go to Anderson Dolan and he's going to one touch it to the bumper, and it's going to be in the back of the net with the shooters they have. If that's never a play, if that never happens, why the Killers, they know that
they just have to defend the perimeter.
Yeah. Right. Right, exactly. And so I think it's very effective the way the Rain do this, and they have been fortunate enough to be able to plug in a few different bumper players that have all done it really effectively, in my opinion, and Akil Thomas is one of them.
Yeah, Trapper 9 coming here, say Thomas is really good at that bumper shot.
Yeah, he is. Release is very good.
Very, very effective, quick release.
Credit Anderson Dolan. I've talked about how well he is down low. He's able to recognize, when am I making the play to the bumper? When am I making a play to the net? When am I going to the front of the net and being a tip option? Like, he's very, very smart in that down low power play spot. I've been very impressed with him in the down low position.
I just really wish that they would have utilized him when they brought him up in that role. And that's the one of the things that I think most fans are on Twitter are clamoring for, is that they don't make any changes on the power play. Like, your power play is straight garbage for the Kings. And I mean, I like the power play 2 unit way better than the power play 1 unit. And 2, like, they haven't made any changes. They haven't done anything different. And like, what was Einstein's, you know, definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And like, yeah, it just seems they're, yeah, slowly starting to make changes. But for a while there, it was just, you know, hitting your head on a brick wall. I mean, like, not quick, to bring it to, yeah, the Kings, but
man, my really quick opinion on that, Andre Kopitar is who they want the power play to run through, as they should. He's their best player, best playmaker. He's a left-hand shot on the right-hand circle. And if you see on the Rain, who's in that right, who's in the bumper slot? Because the play's on that same circle. Tynan plays, mm-hmm, on that right circle. Doesn't matter if Tynan's right-handed or left-handed. Kopitar's left-handed, but they both play on the right circle. What hand is the bumper? Madden, righty. Velarde, righty. Akil Thomas, righty. You're able to make that option to, from Tynan to one of those bumpers, so that guy can either come right back to Tynan, he can go up to Spence, or he can shoot it. Kopitar doesn't have that option. It's always Deneau. He's a lefty. There's no option there. Just from a purely how you're standing, and you can't, that triangle play that we just talked about, down low to Anderson Dolan, one touch the bumper, again, non-existent when you have a lefty in that bumper spot when you're running it out of the right circle. That's my opinion. I'd like to see a righty in that spot. I think it could potentially open some things up for Kopitar rather than keeping it all on the perimeter and that cross seam pass to Kempe. Again, very rarely is it there because the killers know they just got to kill the perimeter.
Yeah, and so it's well, your opinion's been on national television. The guy said the same thing. The Kings, as good as our 5-5 has been on the power play, we have a lot of lefties. We don't have a differential of shot. And so I would like to see Kupari. Kupari's got a pretty quick release. I would like to see Kupari in that little bumper role.
Velarde was effective in the bumper spot. And Velarde. I think Velarde can do the job, but obviously there's a hesitation on McClellan wants to go with what he knows and what he trusts, and that's why you see so many veterans on that top unit. For better or for worse, that's what it is.
So getting into the third Moving period, on. After the two goals there, Conazari with his 12th of the season on the power play. So again, the penalty kill lets one in. A lot better than four goals on the power play this game, only one, but still got bit by the bug there. Then Martin Furk answers right back 13 seconds later. With a absolute laser, 34th of the season from Fagimo and Cameron Gontz.
Yeah, it was a nice play. He actually picks up the puck kind of in tight and is able to poke it home on a bit of a scramble. And what a way to answer right back. And, you know, they do it again a little bit later too. So this set off, I mean, it was just a crazy end to this third period.
Yeah, going in with about 4 minutes left, Justin Kirkland gets his 20th of the season from Martin Pompensil to Luke Phillip. And like you said, we answer right back. Taylor Ward, been an assist machine, but gets his first pro goal for the AHL. Well-deserved. He's been playing very well from Austin Wagner and Christian Willannon.
Full marks to Austin Wagner on this play, but not only on this play, but I think he's really stepped up too, and he's kind of elevated his game. He's always been somebody that's played kind of on the bottom six of the Rain lineup, but he's been asked to play in the top six here recently. I think he's done a nice job, made a really nice play protecting the puck along the wall, and then Taylor Ward just finding a soft, quiet area. The defenders didn't know he was there. Good job by Wagner to find him, quick release, bang, tie game, nice goal.
Yeah, very, very much so, well deserved for him. This game, nothing in OT. We go to the shootout, which Stockton had the better of. They started off with getting a goal from Kirkland. Akil Thomas, no. And then you're thinking, oh, man, another loss in the shootout. Phillips denied. Fagimo gets his, and Anderson Dolan stuffs it in. So the two guys that missed the game before get both of theirs in this week and the Rain pickup too.
Big for Fagimo to get the Rain on the board and tie that up, because that Justin Kirkland, man, he's lethal. Lethal on the power play. It's very power play on the shootout. Very similar to everything he does coming down that left side. Really dangerous, but a couple of nice goals by Fagimo. He tried the same thing he did in the first shootout that didn't end up going in, but buries it this time. And obviously Anderson Dolan with the winner.
Yeah, Richard coming in. Ward was a great sign. I can't wait to see what he does in the playoffs. Agreed. Yep. There. Interesting note here through all the games, David Hrenek's been the backup every single game. And they've given Parikh back to the ECHL team. Ingham was called up to the Kings, I think, just for the road trip, as an emergency type goalie in case somebody gets injured there. But they've stuck with Hrenek as the perennial backup so far. He hasn't really got any I don't believe he's gotten in any games this season. Did he get in? I didn't watch the goals game. No, he was a backup in the goal game as well. So that was the only game I didn't watch out of the five. But yeah, he hasn't got an opportunity, but he's been the consistent backup. So we'll see if he gets in. Sporting the number one, going with the single digit.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll see. Valalt has played, I want to say it's 10 straight. If I'm not mistaken, I could be a game or so off on that, but he's getting a lot of ice. And I just, you know, maybe if they get a little bit of a cushion on Colorado, maybe they'll give him, you know, a little bit of a rest as they head into postseason. Because I imagine he's going to play every game in playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, you'd have to go with what you know, like you said, to make sure that they can, make some headway. And if the Kings get knocked out, then they can kind of get some reprieve, but they got to win that first series. Going into the last game here, the San Diego goals game. We're looking at a 5-1 smashing of the Birds down there. It was pretty much all Rain from midway through the second on. Martin Furk gets two goals here, both on the power play. How did his, you know, like I said, I didn't watch this game. Were both those his patented in the OV kitchen, so to speak?
These were Tynan cross seam to Furk. It's just almost you almost laugh at how efficient they are. It's awesome to see. But yeah, and just great reads and execution by Tynan. It's just excellent.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Ovechkin's gonna Ovechkin doesn't even move on the power play unless he has to corral a puck or he shoots, and you still know it's coming. You can't defend it. So yeah. I mean, it's just lethal there. So going into the second period here, Benoit Oliver Giroux gets his 11th. Like I said, Martin Furk with his second power play. Going to third, Will Lannan gets his first goal for the Reign there from Frederick Allard and Martin Furk. Taylor Ward with his second of the season, and Martin Furk completes the hat trick with an empty netter from Brett Sutter and TJ Tynan. Pretty much a clean sweep in this game, 5-1. Vallalta very clean behind the net from what it looks about 22 of 23. Were there really any high danger shots, or was it pretty much
just kneeling? No, he was awesome, actually. There was the, I want to say it was in the third. So in the third period, this was a one goal game. It was a 2-1 game for the first, as you see, 12 minutes of the game. And Vallalta made a couple of huge point blank saves earlier in that period to keep that at a 2-1 game. And then a great job. I believe it was a 4-on-4 goal that Christian Wolanin scored. And it was Nusayin, and I think again, who kind of was jumping up into the play. I could be wrong on Nusayin, and actually, now that I think about that, because Allard that would jumped up into the play, the other defenseman. Just a nice job, and Wolanin with a really nice goal. So that was big. That was like a sigh of relief, like, okay, you got that 2-goal lead, because the goals were coming. They had some dangerous opportunities.
Yeah, as we're recording here on Thursday night, not getting any help from our friends from the north. Vegas up 4-1 in the second period. So this game was pretty much a wash there, 5-1. So now you're looking at the standings here. So we're in the crunch time. The top three teams have anywhere from 5 to 7 games remaining. Stockton Heat look like they pretty much got the first seed wrapped up, unless they just catastrophe fall away. But they're 8-1-0-1 in their last 10. So they're hot, as their name suggests. And so it's pretty much the Reign battling the Eagles for the second spot. Like we said, 3 games left.
Yep.
If you're looking at the scoring, though, for the MVP, our boy TJ Tynan taking over the first spot. 13 goals, 77 dimes for 30 points or 90 points. They're definitely having the headway to clinch that MVP for the second year in a row.
And he is, correct me if I'm wrong, is he 10 assists away from breaking the assist record in the AHL? I want to say it's 86. Don't quote me.
I'm not 100% sure on that. I didn't even look that up. I didn't even know he was that close. But if it's 86, he's 9 away.
I think, but I should know that if I'm going to say it, but don't quote me. I'm watching that, and I'm watching my guy Samuel Fagimo to try to get to 30. I think that would be awesome. A big accomplishment for him, and Marty Furk's just 3 away from 40. So some milestone type of performances here for the Ontario Reign, and boy, for TJ Tynan to have the season he's had. And if he's able to kind of win a back-to-back MVP, that'd be awesome. It'd be a heck of a season for him, even if he doesn't. But he's pretty comfortably the highest in terms of points per game. Even the guy that's right behind him has played Andrew Podorowski. He's played 63 games compared to Tynan's 56. So just another really impressive season from Tynan.
Yeah, let's go for the people listening on YouTube right now. The NHL scoreboard, we've got Minnesota tied with Dallas, Edmonton up 4-0 on Nashville. So getting some help there in the wild card, if it comes to that, if Vegas takes over that spot and we're fighting for a wild card, getting some help there. I don't know if Richard here is asking this question. Who do you guys want to face in the first round of the playoffs? I don't know if he's talking King or Reign, but we can do a little bit of both. Chances are, like, there's a 65% chance we play Edmonton, and I think we match up well against them. I mean, I know a big loss for Drew Doughty. And you know, because you have to beat Edmonton on special teams because they're so lethal with the man advantage. But who do you think there?
I don't love Edmonton because if the game and it's going to at some points get into a little bit track meaty, and that's just not, the Kings aren't suited for that. And what scares me about Edmonton is you mentioned our penalty kill and frankly our young defensemen and our goaltending. So yeah, I guess of all things considered, it's probably the,
well, the three options are Colorado, Flames, and Edmonton.
Am I crazy to think the Flames, just the way they play, we match up okay with them? It's a similar style of play. They're not going to run and gun you, because if we get into the run and gun, I think that's where our defense could really struggle in transition, and our goaltending with a lot of the snipers that the Oilers and Avalanche have. Listen, that's not to say I want to play the Flames. I guess all things of those three, Edmonton probably the right answer. You know, they have some issues in goal as well, but I guess I don't necessarily love the way we match up with them. That said,
no, all the Flames games have been 3-2.
So. And that's the thing. Like, I've sensed that those are the style games where LA is going to be comfortable playing those, where it can get a little uncomfortable playing against Edmonton.
Yeah. So for the Rain, I think they, you know, the only teams that they don't really, I think they have had historically been playing bad against this season have been Colorado and so I think that might would be a, I don't know if that would be a first round matchup, but because there's what, eight teams that make it?
Seven teams make it, and Stockton's going to get the bye, so it'll be two.
So we'd be playing the Goals or correct, the Silver Knights. Goals tend to play us pretty well. I don't know who Anaheim designated to go down there, right? Off the top of my head. And there's a pretty big rivalry with the Silver Knights. So both those teams get up to play us. But I think we've had quite a bit more blowouts against the Goals this season. I'm not 100% sure off the top of my head. Lukas Dostal, though, is a pretty good goalie. And so maybe, you know, if he gets hot, that could spell something bad in a short series. What do you think?
Similar there, though, for Henderson, Logan Thompson, if he's down in Henderson now that Lehner's back up and healthy with Vegas. The Rain have been successful against both teams. I think they're 6-1 against Henderson. They're 7-3 against the Gulls. But to your point, short series, you know, we just talked about this Gulls game, and you're right. I do think that the Rain have handled the Gulls on the score sheet a few times. But, you know, this was a 2-1 game midway through the third period yesterday, and they're going to get the Gulls two more times in a row here this weekend. So, depending on how the roster shakes out, that's going to play a big factor. If they go into this first series as is, any series is going to be a grind, I think. And again, it's going to be a short series, and it's a best of three series, this first one. So you never know what could happen in a really short series. So I think all things considered, I'd say I'd quote unquote rather play the Gulls, but certainly not going to be a shoo-in.
Yeah, both both teams they play. The Kings end on the 28th. The Rain will end on the 30th. I don't know how quickly the, as far as the regular season, I don't know how quickly the playoffs start after that. But I would assume that even if both teams make it, I would assume the four games, if the Kings lose in four, it would still be after the three game right. series so, for the AHL. So they would have to win that series on their own without the players.
If the Kings make the playoffs, you're not seeing Spence, Velarde, Byfield, or Kapari in the first round.
Yeah. To Trapper Nine's question, is Madden healthy? No, he's not. I don't know the timetable for him to come back, but they have a lot of guys unhealthy. Trapper Nine coming in again. Rain will be much stronger in the playoffs this year, but as my lovely co-host alluded to, that it won't be in the first round, and they'll have to beat that team on their own as is. But Rich coming in says, being positive here, yeah, they can beat anyone with a healthy lineup and reinforcements. Plus, Hellenius and Lee adds a lot of beef. I still want to see the over 6'5 line at least once.
He and Lee have played together.
Yeah. So you just got to add that other guy in there, and then we're good to go.
Doty looks maybe a little small next to him, but he's not exactly small.
So it's been a pleasure there, Joe. I mean, we went over an hour easy to talk about the rain and hockey, and I'm sure we could get into a lot more there. As always, you can find us at hockeyroyalty.com. We got fresh gear there. Joey ain't wearing his T-shirt, but the gear is pretty sweet. So go there, get yourself a T-shirt, a hoodie. For the playoffs there, you can find me at Random Commando 24. You can find Joe at JW Paterino. You're working on, like you said, you're working on that article for Inamato, right? Coming up.
Yeah. Look for this to come out on Friday. Like I said, we're recording a Thursday. One of the new defenseman signings, have a little bit of a piece up, for tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you all the guys, Richard Trapper 9, for coming in here and being in the chat. Appreciate Absolutely. That.
Thank you, guys. Yep.
And then what we're looking at here is we got a month left for both teams, man. Hopefully we can get Kings and a rain clinch.
Let's get on a run.
And we'll get on the playoffs, which would be definitely exciting. Last but not least, thanks to our sponsor, DraftKings, promo code THPN. Go Kings, go.